This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
That is Craig Breslow yesterday at the sort of soft opening of spring training. Workouts started today. We are underway. Talking about entertainment value, and it's something I bring up a lot here on WEEI Afternoons. That was Ted Johnson, you heard, Andy Hart alongside. And before you can compete for titles, and I know it's all about business and competition for coaches, general managers, even players, I get it. But we're not any of those. We're outsiders. We're fans. We're people putting our TV or our radio on at 7 o'clock on a summer night, and we want to be entertained. We want to have a little buzz, a little juice, like excitement. Oh, can't wait to see Crochet play. Or I can't wait to see Jaren Duran and run around the bases and speed or something. You know, Manny hit it out of the park. David Ortiz hit it out of the park. All of those things. It's entertainment. It's entertainment dollar from a business perspective, from a fan perspective, right? Like, you're choosing to give your time or your money or both to this sport. And I want return on my investment. I want to have fun. Right, I want to have a story to tell somebody. I want to go tell my buddies, oh, I was there that day when so-and-so did such and such.
Yep.
And he's right. In the end, winning is entertaining, right? Like, I totally get that. But so, therefore, the Red Sox haven't been entertaining of late because they're not winning anything.
If you call 500 right. for the last six years entertaining.
I don't.
Yeah.
I say when you finish in last place, when you are close to the wild card but don't make it, you're not winning. That's not the winning we're talking about. I also, he said a weird phrase in there where he said, if we put a team on the field we think is capable of winning, that's entertaining. Oh, no. Not capable of winning. No. Being capable of winning is not entertaining. There's lots of teams and lots of individual players in lots of sports that are capable of winning. That's not winning. Winning is the entertainment value. So I'm excited about this team. I do think it has both the potential to compete for a playoff spot, but also the potential to be entertaining. Inherently, I think in baseball, when you bring an ace in, like Crochet is supposed to be, you're a more entertaining baseball team because you have the stopper, you have the guy people want to see pitch, the guy we expect to go out there and pitch 7 innings and strike out 9 guys, right? That's entertainment value. You don't have to be Pedro. I'd like you to be Pedro, but you don't have to be Pedro. Just be Chris Sale. Just be Josh Beckett. Just be an ace for this baseball team. And then you get into the young players. Right? You have Devers as your mainstay. Oh, Story's going to be healthy. We'll see. Jaren Duran coming off a great year. Okay. Rafaela, you're built. And then you got this next generation, the big three. Roman Anthony might be the best player in baseball someday. Christian Campbell might be your second baseman. He's Barry Bonds in terms of the numbers. All these things. But a lot of these are projections, right? That's the one thing. We're still on that kind of, we're projecting winning. We're projecting entertainment value. We need to see it. And that's where I'm still, I'm gullible and I'm optimistic, but I'm not all in, I guess, is where I'd put myself,
yeah.
Ted.
Yeah, I don't blame you. You know, and look, you got to have a good mixture of young up-and-comers with older established veterans, too. I mean, I was covering the Astros in 2017 when they won the whole thing. And, you know, they had so many young, players that they were so bad for so long, they had all these great players in their
that was the
farm
whole
system.
Famous Sports Illustrated when they dubbed them World Series champions, whatever years in advance.
Sure is, yep,
they
it happened.
It.
Yeah, and I'm kind of thinking that's kind of how the Red Sox are viewing this team a little bit. So, if you look at Jaren Duran's been in the bigs for 4 years, and he had his best year last year.
Yeah,
it took him a while to get to be.
Yep.
So it. Even though these players, you call them up, that doesn't mean they're going to have instant success. I mean,
nope.
It could take
probably not
a couple, 2-3 years.
The good
for
thing
them
is
to get their balance.
That's where there's the good thing. I like the idea of the big three because I think if you just, I've talked a lot about this. They put so much on Marcelo Mayer, the shortstop, a few years ago, where it was like everybody kept bringing him up, like, oh my God, this guy better be the greatest player we've ever seen. When they became the big three and Roman Anthony joined the club and Christian Campbell joined the club, now at least, you're right, the odds are at least one or two of them is going to struggle. It's going to take some time. There's going to be a learning curve. There'll be ups, there's downs, there's going to be an injury. But when you have three of them, is it too optimistic to think that one of the three, when he gets to the big leagues, will be one of these immediate Rookie of the Year, Dustin Pedroia, Nomar. Oh, my God, we got our next generation of a great player. We love him. He's going to be a core player. I don't think believing one of three will be that is overly optimistic. I don't think it's naive.
Yeah, I think you're right to say that. But if one of the three hits right away, does that equate to 90 wins?
I'm not willing to go there necessarily.
And it's funny how you say, it's how we've kind of changed. It just rolled off your tongue so easily, Andy. You just said, hey, they have a chance to maybe be a playoff team, a wild card team. It's like a wild card team is a far cry from a contender.
What's your guy say?
Three wild card teams in?
What's your guy say?
What's my guy say?
Your guy. Who's your favorite coach?
Bill Parcells.
What did he used to say?
He says, you are what your record says you are.
Yeah, he also said that. I was looking for another one. Sorry, should have led you a different direction. If you get in the tournament, right, or you got to get
anything
in.
Anything can happen?
Right. Once they're in the playoffs, anything can happen. And you have an ace. That's the other thing. So if you get in the playoffs and Garrett Crochet is an ace, you got a shot. Because you immediately go, well, we won game one. Why? Well, because Garrett Crochet went 8 1/3 and struck out 12, and the other team never got on base.
What's a good record for Crochet this year? Like, what would be a record you look at and you go,
funny you bring that up.
You know what? This is what, how many wins? What would
six.
His... Yeah.
No, but that's the projection on Baseball Reference.
I know.
6-9.
Yeah.
No, he is going to win.
6-9?
He is going
What am I missing? Is he getting injured? Are they projecting him to get injured?
No, they didn't have him pitching a ton of innings.
What is that?
I am predicting, I don't like it. It's their bad math. It's bad quant, bad AI, bad numbers, bad something, bad juju. I'm ignoring it. I am choosing Fitzy. To say
that's right.
17-7.
I went 16-8 earlier. You're going 17-7.
You're negative. I'm more optimistic. 17-7.
You just Price is righted my ass by going one up and one down.
Yeah, but whatever. 17 wins. I'm gonna say he has seven. If he has 17 wins, are they a playoff team?
YES spells you bet.
It doesn't, but I'll take it. That means yes. That's like one of those text things. Reply big Y if you want this to continue.
It's are you guys y. with me in this? You have a clear ace. You
have an ace.
You have 17, 18 wins out of your guy.
For 1 year in his career, he's been an ace.
Okay.
And he didn't win a lot of games, but he's an ace.
He's an ace.
Struck out an awful lot of, like, Ted.
I don't like your tone,
right.
Ted.
But I'm just saying the value of having an ace
is awesome.
It sets everything kind of in place. It gives the guys behind the ace, I don't know, it's something to kind of, I don't know, to kind of reach for, and I just think it really makes a big difference in the overall performance of your pitching staff.
Absolutely. Rising tide lifts all
no
boats.
No
an
doubt.
Ace is a rising
no
tide. My poll question of the day, Ted, on at Jumbo Hard on Twitter. With spring training upon us, how do you feel about the Red Sox heading into the 2025 season? My first option, Ted, tell me if you would vote for this.
All right.
Excited / confident. Are you excited slash confident about the Red Sox?
I'm excited, not slash confident.
Okay, so the second option would be dubious slash hesitant.
I would fit more in that category.
Well, then you would fit with the majority, or the plurality, I guess it's called, of the voters. 46% are dubious and hesitant. The next option was concerned slash not buying it. That was 41%.
That's a big number right there.
Only 13% were excited slash confident. So I think people have been burned a few years in a row. So they're like, okay, I'm going to wait till I see it. This is not faith-based, right? Religion is faith. There's different areas where you can have faith. Yeah. I don't have faith right now. I'm going to wait till I actually see it in front of me, Fitzy.
Nah, come on. All great journeys begin with a leap of faith, that first blind step.
Is that true?
It's not a blind step. It's well, it's the first step of 1,000.
What are you, Tony Robbins or something?
That was it. A journey of 1,000 miles starts with the first step.
I wish I was that rich, but no.
Yeah, he does that kooky stuff. Doesn't he take you to weird bridges and like says, I'm going to drop you into a ravine to trust me?
Let me. If you had that poll, just that say you wrote it the same way and you said,
I got that poll.
You got that poll, brother. Attaboy.
Save that drop.
But you put Alex Bregman. Now, the Red Sox went out and got Alex Bregman tomorrow.
You think that would change it?
I think it would change it big time.
Really?
One player.
Oh, yeah.
One player.
Just
what?
Alex Bregman? What about Arenado, you know, the trade?
If I told you it's going to be Arenado?
Is he willing to play second base? Because Bregman is. And so you got your second baseman. Now you got your right-handed bat. And you got a grizzled vet who's a great leader.
Yeah, but whose best year was 7 years ago?
Okay, it doesn't matter. You still there's value in having a veteran on a young team to show.
Do I need to ask you? Are you friendly with him?
No, Alex.
Yeah.
No.
Why you got that smirk on your face?
No,
I need to know if this is personal. No, if I'm taking pot shots at you.
Yeah, he was winning World Series when you were down in Houston. Right. Like on K-Ted or whatever.
Yeah. So I mean, look, I've seen the kid play. I know what he's all about.
I just want to know if I permission to speak freely about Bregman.
It's like one transition, one deal could really change, I think, how people feel about this team.
I got to tell you, my biggest concern with this team is I'm still not totally sold, Fitzy, on, you said it earlier, who the closer is, and is the closer capable of doing the job?
Closer? They still believe in closers?
Yeah. Oh, they still believe in closers.
Absolutely.
Oh, ask Craig Breslow about a closer. See what he says.
Good teams believe in closers, and I'll tell you who I know believes in closers is the manager. Alex,
that might be true, but I'm not sure the front office people believe in a closer.
Well, that could be a problem if they're not on the same page. But I think Liam Hendricks is going to be your closer. I mean, they left the door open for Slayton. They left the door open for Chapman, who closed a little bit, I think, at the end of last year and in the olden days had some opportunities there. I don't love the idea of not feeling 100% confident in my closer heading into the season.
But did Cora choose McDaniels, or was McDaniels brought upon Cora?
Son of a gun. But you're mocking me.
No, I'm I'm having fun crossing the two
streets. Right, it's the same thing.
People
need to know their roles and shut their holes, right? So you need to know who your closer is. Yeah. And I don't, and that was not an allusion to Jelani Tavai and telling fans to know their role in this world, but I do. This is weird. You got an ace, and that's great. But the lack of I don't even think Kenley Jansen was the best closer in the world. But you knew who the closer was.
Certainly wasn't the second half of last year.
No,
but a lot of people would say the bullpen's not that big of an issue with this team. That they'll find a closer. He might be clearly defined right now. Today.
I don't like finding closers.
Okay. But they're one.
It's like finding a left tackle. How'd that work out?
He's already on the roster. He just hasn't
revealed
himself.
It'll sort itself out. Who's the Chooks Okorafor for of this team? Who's likely to walk away after?
And that's what worries me. Is that idea, this key role? I think closer is a key role with a team if you're planning on being a playoff team, a contender. And I don't know who it is right now, but.
It might be an antiquated, outdated way of thinking, though. That's all.
I don't. What are you, one of these new age baseball guys?
Nope.
Ted Johnson was a new age baseball guy?
I love the idea of a closer.
Yeah, we have five closers.
I'm not sure they do.
High leverage situations don't always come in the ninth.
None.
Right.
Yeah.
If you don't have a closer, it means you don't have a closer. It's very simple. I'm archaic that way, Ted. And I'm happy to be archaic when it comes to the sport of baseball. Because let's be honest, it's kind of an archaic sport. It's an old school sport. 617-779-7937. WEEI Afternoons. Up next, It's the return. Super Bowl's over. That got in our way a little bit. We had TED Talks and things we had to get to, memory lanes. Super Bowl's over. We're back on track. It's What If Wednesday. We're going to throw some what ifs at you and at ourselves and explain how sports history in Boston, or maybe in all of the globe, could have changed on just one different decision. What If Wednesday is up next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, what if Fitzy does a trending for you?
The Christian Arcan Show, weeknights starting at 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
And what if I told you this trending sports report was brought to you by our friends at the 99 restaurants? And what if spring was in the air, even though it's still winter and we've got a wintry mix headed our way? Well, winter is here for us right now. The Game of Thrones, they always just say winter is coming. But spring is coming, and so are the boys of summer. That's because the Red Sox have returned to action in beautiful Fort Myers, Florida. Pitchers and catchers have reported they're looking good on the Red Sox socials, doing their slow-mo walks in to toss the ball around. And we've actually heard from Craig Breslow. We've heard from Alex Cora as well on the state of the Red Sox and how everyone's looking. Here's a few words from Red Sox manager Alex Cora on one of the team's newly acquired relievers, possibly even a closer, Aroldis Chapman.
We got guys that have stuff, and Whit remind me that he closed the wild card game in 21. So we got guys. We have options, which is a good thing.
Options are always a beautiful thing, and the Red Sox will have options galore in the bullpen as well as in the starting rotation as well, led by hopeful ace Garrett Crochet, who met with the media today as well and said he was excited to be traded to Boston. And when he learned he was traded to Boston, he saw that as a place he could hopefully be pitching for a long time to come. If you want to get a peek at what life was like on the Red Sox last season, head on over to the social medias after WEI Afternoons and, of course, the Christian Arcan Show, or maybe during a commercial break, and check out a teaser for the new Netflix documentary series, The Clubhouse, an 8-part doc series on the 2024 Red Sox season. Hey, speaking of teams with documentaries, the Boston Celtics have a new documentary coming out on Max in the first week of March, celebrating their 2023-2024 championship season that saw banner 18 raised to the rafters. Their final game before the All-Star break is tonight, 7 p.m. at the TD Garden, a place where they have actually lost more games this season already by more than double than they did last season. They're taking on Victor Wembanyama and the San Antonio Spurs. And finally, from football, sort of Patriots related, if you will, according to ESPN's Pete Thamel, Matt Patricia, former Patriots offensive coordinator, former Patriots defensive coordinator, former Patriots general manager, former Patriots offensive line. Okay, he basically told us he did everything for the New England Patriots. Matt Patricia, famous friend of Belichick, is going to be the new defensive coordinator for the Ohio State University. This trending sports report, once again, brought to you by our friends at the 99. Treat your Valentine at the 99 restaurants February 14th through the 16th and enjoy delicious menu specials like the lobster topped haddock. You gotta love the nines because they're always, what's Diz? The real deal. This is your old pal, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. Coming up, don't miss the return of What If Wednesday here on WEEI Afternoons.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast.
With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you know that if you miss any part of the show, you can jump back to listen?
Either on the Odyssey app or at WEEI.com. Click on the orange listen button.
And rewind to the moments you care about most. WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
WEEI Afternoons, Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy, Stevens, and Ted Johnson. We also have Stiz behind the glass. And Stiz has been hot and bothered about something, which I've also noticed.
I like when Stiz gets all worked up.
I do, too. Stiz worked up is an enjoyable part
it's
of our
really
show and our
to
day.
See. Yeah.
So there has it's been this stuff. Evolution of FaceTime, which has been around forever. FaceTime came with iPhones. So they've been around since whatever that was, 2007 or 15 years, something
2000,
like that.
No. I think FaceTime didn't come around until 2010, 2011.
Okay, 2010. Long time, though. 15 years.
Yeah.
And it was cool. You used it. Oh, grandma can see the kids.
I thought it was the greatest thing ever.
And then I feel like it kind of...
Yeah. It was Skype.
And then it kind of ebbed downward. So Stiz asks, because FaceTime is on the comeback. A lot of people just FaceTime each other. FaceTime call, FaceTime call, FaceTime call.
I'd love to know your thoughts on that.
FaceTime has never really gone anywhere, has it?
Oh, I think it ebbed in its popularity. But it is back because the youngins, the youth movements, do a lot of FaceTiming. And Stiz, you have a question.
Well, Nick earlier brought up cell phones and flip phones, and yep. I wanted to say to you guys, almost, we used to do a thing back with Keith, can I get a ruling, where you talk about maybe social situations you may find yourself in.
Yeah, I love this. This is great. Let's
you go. Know, what's the procedure? Is it cool to do this? Yep. Is it not cool to do this?
Ask the FaceTime
so,
question.
I think it is super annoying. Do not do it. Do not FaceTime me. If you want to like out of the blue.
Yeah.
If you want to FaceTime me, send me a text and say, hey, can I FaceTime you? But you just FaceTiming me out of the blue, to me, is akin to just showing up at my door at 1 a.m. and ringing my doorbell.
It's a drop-in. It's like maybe not even 1 o'clock. Maybe at 5 o'clock at, you know, dinner time, someone knocks at your door. Who the hell is knocking at my door?
And why do you want to see my face? Like, why do you have to see my whole environment? Or I don't want to see your face. I just think it's crazy. Maybe
what do you need to do? Put your makeup on or get your influencer light charged?
I stand with Stiz on this.
Oh, my God. As I am being FaceTimed right now by Andy Hart.
Way to go, Andy.
Oh, hey, Stiz.
Don't ever FaceTime me again.
Oh, sorry. I'll text you.
Hang up.
Is a highly intrusive nature to somebody.
Like
texting you, big deal, obviously.
Yep.
Somebody calling you, it's like, oh, my God, the phone portion of this still works.
Yeah.
But, like, somebody just FaceTiming you out of the blue, like, you just want to see my face. Like, it's easier for you to talk this way because you can't, like, I can talk to you in the car. I can't FaceTime with you in the car. Not that I haven't before. Hey, kids.
You should try it sometime.
Plus, is
not supposed to text in the car, but it happens.
For me, FaceTime is personal. That's like
it is personal.
Wife.
Now Arcan is FaceTiming me. I hate you, Christian.
You shouldn't have said it. You shouldn't have told. Don't ever FaceTime me.
Now everyone's gonna FaceTime you, Stiz. You just unleashed absolute visual hell on
phone
yourself.
On silent.
I think the way you said it, Stiz, is acceptable. Text the person, hey, can I FaceTime you? And then if you get the answer you want, then you do it. Otherwise, you don't. It's like calling me. Who's calling me?
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, I almost feel the same way.
It's worse than calling.
This is going to sound crazy. I almost feel the same way about a phone call.
Yeah, yeah.
Text me and say, hey,
Stanley,
can I call you?
Can you talk? No. All right. For example, like I've got some friends I used to see regularly that when they lived on the East Coast that have moved to California. And it's sometimes what they'll do is like, hey, are you up later? Want to grab a drink and FaceTime to catch up? So as opposed to just like talking.
Is that a booty call?
That's weird. Yes.
No, it's not.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Wait. With a dude? You're telling me, Ted, it's weird.
I don't judge their things.
It's like 11 o'clock my time. I'm usually last one to bed. Yeah. It may be 8 or 9. Their kids go down. Yeah. And you just sort of like FaceTime and like, you know, make an old fashioned and catch up and, you know, shoot the breeze. I want to see the kids.
That's weird, but that's, I don't know. I'm not even, I don't know. I don't want to judge.
It's a carryover from the pandemic when people used to do virtual happy hours.
Okay, maybe. So to each his own, but we all know don't FaceTime Stiz, and I think most of us agree.
Or just text him first, ask if it's okay to FaceTime, and then.
But just in general, just text. That would be my rule one. Start with a text, and maybe somebody will tell you when to escalate it to a call or to a FaceTime. Anyway.
How about DMs?
Sure, DMs are fine. My DMs are open for anybody who wants to contact me.
Okay.
We're an open show here.
DMs are open.
On Instagram, on Twitter. Yep. DM us. We'll interact. We love the fans.
Hit up Andy Hart. 617.
No. It's What If Wednesday. It's 5:30. And so we have the rules, because Ted needed me to sort of re-explain this to him.
I'm new here.
He's the new guy around here. And I said it's very simple. It's a sports-based question. What if ... And actually, this stems back from the Six Rings podcast. Fitzy and I started doing What If Wednesday on the podcast, Patriots related, a long time ago. And it was like, what if Mo Lewis never hit Drew Bledsoe and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So that was the roots of it. Now we expand it here to sort of all the sports teams, all the stars, all the sports. And, you know, so I'll start things off. And this is something that I've been kind of hot on this week.
Open up your paper.
Okay. There's my paper. That was a very loud paper opening. I need to clean that up a little bit. What if Malcolm Butler had played in the Super Bowl against the Eagles? One of the most famous, why didn't he? Even he answered it this week at the Super Bowl. You know, it was a coach's decision. Okay, whatever. We've moved on from why you didn't. Let's just say you did. So Malcolm Butler plays. Can we all agree the Patriots win?
Yes. He makes some of the tackles.
Yep.
Jordan Richards and Johnson Bademosi whiffed on.
Okay, so
Patriots
win. He
just makes one play.
That's all it might take.
Just one play.
Patriots win the Super Bowl. That's two in a row for them.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that means the next season, which they actually ended up in real life, real world, original thread.
Best thing that ever happened to Belichick is winning that next year.
They won the next year.
Yeah.
Do they win three in a row? Do they set history? Do we forget about the Chief Pete? Is it a Pat's Pete? Is it a Pat trick in a different way? Not Patrick Mahomes, but Patriots Patrick?
It's a Thomas Edward Patrick Brady, yes.
My gut says yes.
Or does it change everything and now the pressure's on, everybody's chasing them, it's like 07 all over again, history.
I'm trying to remember, 17, was that the year they wanted to trade Gronk after that year?
18, the Migo vroom vroom on the motorcycle.
Yes.
That was June of 2018.
So,
yeah.
So maybe that would have been tough if they're still wanting to trade Gronk and his heads. They still won the Super Bowl.
But does everything else change? And that is my theory. If they play Malcolm Butler, they win that Super Bowl. I don't even really care whether they win the third one or not. Tom Brady does not begin to have a deep divide in his relationship with Bill Belichick, because I think it started that day when he looked at Bill making decisions that didn't make sense for the team, that didn't have the team's best interests at heart. Robert Kraft said the same damn thing in the Dynasty. He started to have a divide. That was the first time I didn't think what he did what was in the best for the New England Patriots.
You don't think?
So therefore, those divides don't happen. Whether they win the third Super Bowl or not, Tom Brady's still the quarterback. Bill Belichick's still the head coach. I think Tom Brady right now might be the president of the New England Patriots running the football
that's
show.
That's interesting.
I think Bill Belichick would be the president emeritus running the Patriots. I think the family, the Patriot Nation, everything would have stayed together longer and better. And all of that would have been changed if they had just played.
I'll give you two, because famously there was, I believe, a chef or somebody who worked at the stadium who heard Brady walking off the field yelling, "I'm done with him. I'm effing done with him."
No, no. The beginning of the end was that.
He was so mad. I'll give you this, too. I think if Butler plays, they win that Super Bowl, Brady ends up with the Patriots longer than Belichick.
Yeah, see, I think they would have maybe. I don't know who retires first. I think they both retire Patriots. I think there's no firings. I think the dynasty peters out instead of getting sort of chopped off, lopped off like a limb. I think it changes everything. That was arguably one of the most important points in the Patriot dynasty, Patriot history. It changed everything in so many ways. So, Ted,
can I refute that? Can I push back? Or?
Oh, go ahead. Yeah, no. I think you're wrong.
I think Belichick still. Belichick wanted to coach without Brady.
Okay,
he wanted to separate himself from Brady.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you don't offer him bad contracts like you did if you didn't want to separate yourself from. I don't think winning that Super Bowl would have changed how Belichick thought of contracts for Tom Brady after
that. Oh, I agree. I agree 100%.
So Tom,
I think it changed what Tom thought of Bill. Tom was done with Bill.
You think Tom
would have quit the game of chicken? He would have gone to Robert's house on, what was it, March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, Fitzy?
You think he still would take crappy contracts?
The night before, because on St. Patrick's Day, the Forever Patriot Post came out at 8:30.
I think he would have still been smitten with the idea of Bill Belichick does what's in the best interest of the football team.
In his ear. You know what? You should get paid, Tommy. This isn't Tommy Foxborough.
But Giselle, we win. He always does what's best for the football team.
Yeah, they win because of you, Bubba.
Yeah.
Let's go. Whatever her nickname is for him, Ruby.
Johnny Effing Foxborough.
I would have to disagree. I think it was inevitable that the two would have split, no matter what. I think Bill was hell bent on coaching without Tom.
And I'll tell you what else, Ted. Giselle does not have a baby with Johnny Jiu-Jitsu if Butler plays.
Nobody needed to see that.
How about that? It comes back to that. Yeah.
So, Fitzy, what's your...
Hey, by the way, I thought he did a good job with that in for new and news, that his ex got a little baby and still had to buckle down and call a Super Bowl game.
Compartmentalize, I believe that's what
he held his head up high. He took the high road, which I thought was...
He had an $800,000 watch on his wrist. He's freaking doing fine. He's Tom freaking Brady.
What do you got,
Well,
Fitzy?
Along the same lines of keeping the family together, let me just get this
open.
Oh,
you're
right
a loud
here.
Opener, too.
Yeah, hold on. My fly's down, too.
And the winner
get those chips. Here we go. There's a lot going on there. Along the same lines of keeping the family together and extending the dynasty so everybody could finish up as a big, happy, winning Foxborough family, I'll ask you this question. In 2019, what if the New England Patriots drafted A.J. Brown instead of N'Keal Harry at the end of the first round?
I like it. You know what I think that does? It adds to my vision of the dynasty being longer and better and together because... I think Tom Brady's happy. Tom Brady's got a go-to big play receiver, a young guy that he can actually trust. Why are you shaking your head again?
Sorry.
Ted, his rookie year.
Your facial expressions tell a thousand words.
Until he changes the contract, it doesn't matter.
It's not all about the money, Ted.
It was for Tom at the end. At the end, it was. It wasn't for the first 18 years. Yeah, Fitzy. I mean, am I wrong in that?
No. He took it on the wallet for the longest time that he could. But then eventually, as he saw that Belichick wasn't going to give him his, he started to sort of seclude, and he didn't even get the players and the assets he wanted. He couldn't pick the players, didn't get the money he wanted. But instead of N'Keal Harry, who was useless the first half of the season and then pretty much just as useless the second half of the season,
I was gonna say,
what if they
change?
Were able to... He was just
so he was
useless
the whole year. Then useless,
useless the entire time. And the one damn touchdown that he scored that would have mattered was one that was called out of bounds by the freaking refs in the Chiefs game. Yeah.
They don't rig it, Fitzy.
So in 2019, if you had AJ Brown, if you had AJ Brown instead of the corpse of N'Keal Harry, AJ Brown in Tennessee, his rookie season with Ryan Effin Tannehill, 52 catches, 1,051 yards, and 8 touchdowns. I'm going to go ahead and say those numbers would have probably increased by 15% on the New England Patriots, meaning that Brady beats the Titans or beats another team in the wild card. Hell, doesn't even play in the wild card round. They go to the divisional round. They go back to Andy. They could have maybe even won four straight Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm. If a Foxborough Brown, four-peat?
The four-pack, foursome. Baby.
Four score and 7 years ago, we kicked your ass and won the Super Bowl. I like it, Fitzy. I agree with you. I think that could have changed a lot of things.
Yes, everything.
Crazy.
Everything.
All right.
Think about it.
All right, so open yours
all
up.
Right, here we go. All right, here we go. Mine is. Right.
How's your paper?
All right. What if Bill Belichick
still opening it
had stayed with the Jets?
Oh, this is in your
right
wheelhouse.
Up your alley.
This is in your wheelhouse. Bill Belichick stays with the Jets, so he does not become the head coach of the Patriots. So therefore, Ted Johnson is not coached by Bill Belichick. That changes everything for the tone of this radio show, I can tell you.
So that
Bill Belichick
means
would have been fired in 2003 by the Jets.
Yeah, so that means that Tom Brady wasn't drafted by the Patriots then. Theoretically, if Belichick's not here,
I mean,
if Tom
this
was,
is your what if you're yeah, you're the
hey,
maestro.
You know what? We would if Bill Belichick stayed with the Jets, we'd have been just fine.
Oh,
we'd have been just fine.
Let's go.
Hey, you know how I feel about those mid-90s teams.
Yeah, but who's your coach?
You know what?
Dom Capers.
Who would have
wasn't
been
that the rumored coach? Terry Donahoe and Dom Capers were going to run the
I
Patriots?
I can't remember.
I think it was Dom Capers.
I think it would have been okay.
You'd be fine with Dom Capers?
Nah.
I think he had a toupee.
He, you know what? Look, let's face it. Bill was a big part of our success. No question about it.
Whole 10%.
10% of our success. He was. So we win maybe one or two Super Bowls, not three. Maybe.
So you still think the core of the New England Patriots with Dom Capers as the head coach wins the Super Bowl in the early
2000s. I do.
I don't totally disagree with you.
I do.
I think there's the issue I would have here.
If Tom was our quarterback.
Okay, that's
the key.
You got to get rid of Drew. And I don't say that lightly, but Drew had played his course in New England, in my opinion.
I agree.
You needed a new quarterback.
If Tom was our quarterback, I think we would have been okay. We would have won two Super Bowls.
Superfan Fitzy, you okay with this revisionist history? Yep. Bill Belichick never comes to New England, and the early 2000 Patriots still win a Super Bowl or two.
Bill's phenomenal head coach. There you go. See?
Do the Patriots win a Super Bowl? Well, no. I don't believe they do.
So you don't like the core of talent, the McGinnis, the Laws, the Malloys, the Johnsons.
I think you guys go to the playoffs, Ted. I think you're a perennial playoff contender. I don't think without the guarantee of Brady and the little extra something, you know, that 10-15% that Bill added to the soup, I don't think you guys clear the hurdle and win the ultimate game.
It is an interesting debate. It is.
So the flip side real quick here, do the Jets win any Super Bowls? Or does he get fired in New York, as Fitzy said, three or four years?
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not. It's a question. It's what if.
He goes down in a blaze of glory, and he's never even considered even close to being the greatest of all time. That's not even.
So he never wins the Super Bowl. He's fired by the Jets, and he moves on.
How's he done without Brady?
Well,
in his career.
Not great.
So I'd like to assume he probably.
Oh, that old chestnut.
Way, you know.
People love to play that card.
Am I wrong in saying it?
It's facts. Those are the facts. Well, that is What If Wednesday.
I like that.
What if Malcolm Butler had played? Changes everything. What if they had drafted A.J. Brown? Definitely changes everything. And what if Bill Belichick stays with the Jets?
Yeah.
Changes everything in some form or fashion. What If Wednesday? I enjoy it. It's going to be a staple moving forward here on WEEI Afternoons. Another staple is Odds and Ends, and that's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
WEEI Afternoons, time for Odds and Ends. Odds and Ends brought to you by Cars for Kids. Don't waste time trying to get rid of your old or broken car. Cars for Kids is the easiest and fastest way to donate your car and get a tax deduction. Go to carsforkids.org today. That's cars with a K. So we talked about this a little bit earlier. Christian Casas seems like he's going to be the centerpiece of the promotion, at least, for the Red Sox documentary, The Season, on Netflix, which starts on April 8th. I'm sure we'll be talking about it later. I'm sure we'll watch it, break it down. But I wanted to play this again because Ted Johnson has some thoughts on Christian Casas and him being mic'd up for this documentary.
I dedicated my life to this game. It's tough when you go up there because you're vulnerable. You can do everything right and still have a bad result.
man. What am I doing out there, man? What the f***, man? What am I doing, man? Damn it, Tristan. Get a f***ing grip, kid. Damn, he can't beat me with anything. He's throwing 90 miles an hour, man. Get a swing off. Pathetic.
So, Ted, that was Tristan Casas. First question for you. Have you ever been mic'd up as a player?
Yeah.
Do you think he said that because he was mic'd up,
no.
Or do you think he said that because that's what he does?
I think that's what he does.
Okay. So what was your reaction to it?
I loved it.
Really?
I loved it. I loved it because he said everything I think I would say.
Yeah.
In that situation, which is there's a lot of kind of a lot of times people think, you know, these guys are like the most confident players ever, you know, to go up there. But there's a lot of self-doubt. There's a lot of self-loathing.
Yeah.
You know, you get mad at yourself. This guy throws a 90. I mean, I can hit a 90. Like, it's not like it, you know, and he's verbalizing his thoughts. Thank you. Because that's getting in the mind of an athlete right there. In batters, when they go up there, how vulnerable. For him to say how vulnerable. That's part of why baseball players are kind of a-holes, right? A lot of them. If you've ever met them.
Well, it's a miserable sport.
But because they're so vulnerable, and when they fail, which they do most of the time,
70% of the time,
it can wear on you. I just like that he brought what he was thinking out in words, and so that inner dialogue that a lot of us have, he was saying the words so that we could all hear it. And I'm like, thank you, Tristan. I want to find that to be very fascinating, and I'm looking forward to that.
Now,
I appreciated him being vulnerable by saying what he said.
But isn't that not what you're supposed to do? Didn't we see George Kittle in the receiver thing? Aren't you supposed to, George, you're the fastest guy out here. You're the strongest guy out here.
Not everybody does it that way.
You were a negative thinker, talker?
Dude, I was the most, I never thought it was good enough. It was never good enough. My coach would always say that Ted was the most insecure guy. I never, ever thought I was good.
Just turned into a therapy session.
But
Ted,
not,
you were good enough, you were special enough, and doggone it, people
like
you.
Thank you. But that I liked that piece. I just thought he was very vulnerable there. I learned a lot about Tristan Casas, and it made me like him a little bit more. And I'm going to watch April 8th.
And I think that could be good for him because he's right on a line here. I don't know if people know what to think of Tristan Casas, and when you're injured,
including Tristan Casas.
Well, that's fair. But when you miss a big chunk of a year, and there were such high hopes coming into last year, coming off the end of the previous year, it's in that make or break. Are people going to love you and root for you, or are you the weird guy who gets hurt and doesn't fulfill his expectations? So this may actually help him, seeing him behind the scenes.
You know what does it? It humanizes him.
Yeah.
And people are going to go, okay,
correct.
Well, so he's got, people will have more empathy because he's more humanized by his willingness to share about, you know, I got to go have a normal life outside of this, which is not easy to do, which is the truth. Some people don't want to know how the sausage is made. Some people don't want to care about how the athletes feel. But there's a big portion of people that will appreciate it and respect that.
Okay. I think this is going to be interesting, Fitzy. I'm looking forward to it. Give us a little insight into the struggles, the trials, the tribulations, everything. And, you know, Ted, it'll be interesting to get your perspective on it as we get sort of that inside view, especially of a different sport. It's not football, it's baseball, but there's still athletes, there's still struggles. So that'll be good.
Hey, Jim and Bedford, I'll be on tomorrow. Just hang on tight.
Jim, we'll be back
tomorrow
at 2, and we will get to you tomorrow, I promise, because right now we got to transition to the Christian Arcand show because he's in the studio. He's ready to
upset.
Yell at us.
He
does
not
look
mad.
Serious.
Okay. I wasn't sure.
He's going to FaceTime Stiz. He's got a lot to do. What do you got coming up on the show tonight, Christian?
Well, tonight we're going to be talking with Sean McAdam. As I don't know if you know, this pitchers and catchers reported today.
Yes. Absolutely, baby. I'm excited.
I'm very excited about that.
Garrett Crochet is going to win 6 games.
This offseason didn't go the way I think any of us really wanted it to.
No.
But we will compare it to some of the other offseasons in the AL East and like the Dodgers and other things like that.
Uh-oh.
There's the Netflix documentary, the Celtics documentary, all the documentaries we're going to talk about tonight. And for the nightly news, we're going to look into this T situation. Did you see about this?
No.
So there's a federal investigation going on. This latest tea crash, the Green Line.
Oh.
It's been going on. They were here like 3 days ago, and they're still here checking it out. So I have some theories about what's going on.
Oh, I like conspiracy theories.
Usually they wrap these things up pretty quickly. It's news that it's taken 3 days.
Arcan investigates.
Yeah, I like it.
That's right.
I also real quick need to get your opinion. Would you trade Jason Tatum for Victor Wembanyama?
No.
Really?
No, I wouldn't.
Scal
would.
Oh,
I like Wembanyama a lot, but I think that I know he would. I mean, it's fine. And I think that if I really believed that he could have a long career, then I would. But I don't believe that. I don't believe he's going to have a long career. And I hate to put it that way.
I agree.
I know Porzingis has had a long career, but he hasn't played that much.
Right.
I'd rather have Tatum, who's much more durable.
Proven his durability. Yeah. That's the one thing, you know, he's not going to get hurt, and he's really good. So that's Christian Arcand. The loaded show between 6 and 10 tonight. We will be watching some Celtics and Spurs. Wembanyama, Tatum. Fitzy, great job today. Stiz, great job today. Joe Braverman, I don't know why you're looking at me. You're on the next show. Ted, hell of a job. We'll be back tomorrow, 2 to 6, here on WEEI Afternoons.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.